Welcome back to Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much for joining us again today. It is the third hour of the Power Hour, and we salute all of you, and we support all of you who could be doing anything right now, but you're going to be tuning in to listen to James Corbett of The Corbett Report. He is an independent listener, James Corbett and The Corbett Report. It's an independent, listener-supported alternative news source. It operates on the single principle of open source intelligence, provides podcasts, interviews, articles, and videos about breaking news. He has been living and working in Japan since 2004. He started the Corbett Report outlet website in 2007 and got an incredible amount of good information on the website. He also is a contributor and editorial writer for the International Forecaster. And we're just so thrilled to have you join us today. Thank you so much, James, for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Of course, I'm a big fan of your work, so it's good to finally be talking with you.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I got to tell you, the 9/11 conspiracy theory you did is like the best. I send it out to people, and I was looking at it, listening to it again yesterday. I may even play a little bit of it because it's so incredible. But 9/11, a conspiracy theory, tongue-in-cheek, you have had over 2,000 visits to that site.
Sorry, 2 million almost views on YouTube.
What am I thinking? 2 million. Small difference there.
A little bit.
That's a difference, yeah. Anyway, that is amazing what you did. And so now I know that is your voice on there. You did an unbelievable job. We're going to put that in the email blast and send it out to everybody today because we want all of our listeners to see 9/11 conspiracy theory. Thank you for doing that, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you for that. I had, of course, when I was putting that together, I had absolutely no idea that it would take off the way it did. I basically put that together more as a sort of almost a sad joke for the 9/11 truth movement. I really only expected people who were interested in 9/11 truth to ever see it. So a lot of it was the type of stuff that I've been researching for years and years and years. So I decided why not just put it all together into a short 5-minute video. And for whatever reason, it just struck the right chord in the right way. And it's now been seen literally millions of times online. So I'm absolutely flabbergasted, but I'm glad. I mean, there's a lot of important information in there, and it has gotten a lot of people to take a look at some of those pieces of information that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Absolutely. And you are celebrating something else. You're celebrating the birth of your first child, you and your wife. And I am just so happy for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for that. What can I possibly say? I'm beaming like a million watt light bulb right now, and it's just so beautiful, so wonderful to hold your child in your arms for the first time. And there's really no way to describe that, I think, other than just to give a knowing nod to the parents in the audience who already know what I'm talking about.
You know, you can watch all the birth programs on TV, and it does not hit home until you have that child in your arms. Did you ever think you could love something so little, so much?
It's beyond comprehension, isn't it? Absolutely beyond comprehension. And as much as I was prepared for that and prepared for it to be a life-changing experience, you still can't really change for the actual, prepare for the actual change in your life that it brings about. But it certainly does give me a different perspective on things. And certainly it puts the idea of the future into a much clearer focus for me, because there is a reason behind what I'm doing and behind what you're doing and a lot of other people in the alternative media are doing. We're trying to make a better world for the future, but now I have an actual physical instantiation of the future that I can actually think about when I'm thinking about what type of world we're trying to create here. And that's really what it's about at the end of the day, to try to make it a better place, obviously for not just for my child, but for every child around the world, and hopefully to try to leave this world in a slightly better state than we found it in.
Absolutely. It makes everything come into perspective, whether it's vaccinations or whether it is what you eat and what you provide for that child. All of a sudden, the world changes. It really does. So, well, we're glad to have you join us here today, because there's so much that we want to talk to you about. Financially, the world appears to be crumbling. I mean, it really does. But I would like for you to share with us, in your honest opinion, how bad, how good, how overrated, underrated is the news with respect to the financial situation? What's happening around the world?
Well, something that's really struck me, I guess I've always kind of known this, but it's really struck me afresh in the last several weeks, is just how completely opposite the financial markets are to what we would expect them to be given the news that's coming out of them. So so we can look at all sorts of different examples about this, but I mean we can look at things like the run up in the Japanese stock market, obviously something that that's close to home here for me in Japan, that we've seen over the past 6 months. We've seen an incredible run up, something in the neighborhood of an 80% rally in the value of the Japanese stock market, which is based on absolutely nothing other than the paper promises of the new Japanese prime minister and the new governor of the Bank of Japan, that basically saying that over the next 2 years they're going to inflate the money supply here, expand the money supply by 100%, basically doubling the money supply. And based on the talk of that promise, we've seen just this incredible explosion in the Japanese stock market that in itself has translated into an incredible first quarter of GDP growth here in Japan. We had 0.9%, which is 3.5% annualized. That's an incredible growth rate for an economy that's just been so much in the tanks for so long, just in the suffering doldrums for decades now. And it's literally based on nothing. And in fact, capital spending actually went down 0.7% during that quarter. So all of the fundamentals are pointing downward, and yet the markets are pointing upward. And that's just one example out of so many around the world right now in which things are completely on their head. And the only thing that you can say about this is that of course things are on their head because there is no economic rules that the markets are following anymore. All it is, it's 100% due to central bank intervention in the markets, whether that's the Federal Reserve in the United States or the Bank of Japan, the European Central Bank. The central banks are becoming the key players driving the markets, and what they say becomes more important than any economic reality, which means that the markets are basically useless for actually understanding what's happening in the economy anymore.
Okay, let's go back to basics. For someone who's just now tuning in, the first time, who's been listening to Fox Business News, and this kind of sounds like, wow, where's this guy coming from? Or for the homeschool children, or for me, let's talk about the real problem that we have. Okay, we have put so much into the markets, so much liquidity into the markets. What has that done? What is the only outcome that can take place as a result of that?
Well, interestingly enough, it's not even liquidity that's actually going into the markets per se. It's not actually hitting the actual economy. If it were, that would be a different story altogether. But in fact, we've seen that the velocity of money in the United States has reached 60-year lows. So the amount of money that's actually making its way into the economy is absolutely in the doldrums. But when you look at the money that they're printing up, that they're nominally putting into the economy by buying up, for example, mortgage-backed securities in the United States, it's billions upon billions upon billions every month. In fact, $85 billion a month in QE3, QE4 from Ben Bernanke at the Federal Reserve. That's a staggering amount of money that they're just creating and sort of saying is being pumped into the economy, but it's not actually making its way down to the average person. Banks still aren't lending very, very much, and this money isn't really circulating. So what we're all we're looking at are really the paper promises of the central bankers. It's not even something that's really affecting the people at the bottom, except for the way that it drives the markets. And so what we've seen is just this sort of nominal notion that there's something happening, when in fact all they're really doing is just buying their own bonds and or just injecting this directly into the banks to basically take their toxic assets off their hands. And then the banks are just parking their excess funds in the central banks themselves. So this is a bizarre system that's really developed. And again, it really isn't benefiting anyone at all, except for, of course, the cronies at the very top, who, for example, in the American context, the trillions and trillions of dollars of bailout money went to the banks, which are headed by the people who were sitting on the New York Federal Reserve board that was deciding where the trillions of bailout money should go. It's such an incredibly close-knit circle that it's almost mind-boggling to think about how just ridiculous it is, and how much it is completely just theft at the very top of the system by very, very few political insiders and business cronies, and literally hundreds of millions of people are losing out every single day, and not a single banker has really been brought to task or obviously really convicted for any of the incredible improprieties we've seen over the last several years. And I think one of the clearest signs that unfortunately America is living under tyranny right now.
Well, not according to the Fox cleavage info, babes. I mean, if you listen to Fox Business Network, all is well. The stock market's up. Get whatever money you can and put it in the market. Get it out of bonds, put it in the market, because all is well, according to the Fox info cleavage babes.
Yes. Well, of course, you can trust them as far as you can throw them. Well, actually, that might not be the best analogy, but absolutely, they're it's so far removed from reality. And again, it's really depressing to think how little the market news actually reflects what's happening in the economy. But I think probably the average listener in the audience right now just has to reflect on their own economic and financial situation and think of whether they're better off or worse off than they were, say, a decade ago, and whether they've seen anything whatsoever of this supposed recovery that's happened in the past few years since the 2008 collapse. And I'm willing
Wait a minute. They said the recovery came. It's here. You didn't hear?
Right. Yes.
They said that today.
Well, here's the thing.
Recovery is here.
They say this all the time. They say it every few months, and they think that people are going to believe it next time they say it. The Eurozone has just announced that they've just hit their sixth straight quarter of recession. So, now the youth unemployment across the Eurozone is at 25%, and the German finance minister just came out to say that revolution is probably the likely outcome of this if they can't solve the youth unemployment problem in the EU anytime soon. So, I mean, I think whatever is being said on the Fox Business Channel, I think even some of the top political insiders are realizing just how serious the situation really is.
But if they told the people, well, I want to encourage you to go to CorbettReport.com, CORBETT Report.com. Really excellent website. We'll be back with James Corbett. 4 minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. Welcome back to Power Hour. It is 24 minutes after the hour. You're in the right place. And we have the right guest today, that's for sure. James Corbett is our guest today. CorbettReport.com. That's two T's on the end of it. CorbettReport.com. I thank him very much for sharing his time with us, because it is invaluable, ladies and gentlemen, what you're hearing from a man who's really willing to tell you the truth, because we're all concerned. And I have to ask the question regarding the future. Nobody wants to predict, but from what you know, sir, I mean, there's talks about banks closing, devaluation of the currency, the euro falling apart, basically. I mean, what is it that you see heading toward us from what you know, please?
Well, perhaps I'm a bit biased from my perspective here in the land of the rising sun, but I really do think that Japan is the canary in the coal mine when it comes to the world economic situation. And I think that what's happening here with the new so-called Abenomics, named after the new prime minister here, Shinzo Abe, is really going to be the event that I think is most likely to spark whatever type of crisis we're going to see coming. And I think we are going to see a crisis coming. We're seeing this inflation of the stock market bubbles around the world. Of course, they're in the United States with the S&P. And as I mentioned earlier, the Japanese stock index has been just ballooning up to ridiculous levels based on these paper promises of the central bankers. And of course, what we've seen in the last week or two is when Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve gang even so much as floats the idea of the rumored of the hearsay that perhaps one day in the future they might ease off on the gas pedal of this quantitative easing, the markets start to plunge. So what we have here is a picture of basically the markets as a type of heroin junkie, and the quantitative easing is their heroin, and just the idea that it might be taken away from them is enough to bring reality crashing back in on the markets and send the market it's plunging, which shows that all of this once again is being manipulated by the central bankers. And I think the real point of this is that the real underlying root issue of what is wrong with the modern economy is that the central banks are controlling the money supply, and that is the root of the problem. When you look at the Federal Reserve, which turns out to be a privately owned central bank that has private shareholders, the full list of which has never been published. It's still never been revealed to the public who the original shareholders in the Federal Reserve were. But when you actually look at the way that the money is created in the American context, it's created as debt that's owed back to the banksters themselves. It's a system that is so on its face ridiculous, and that's really the root of the problem. So I think rather than looking at trying to find out, you know, which way the markets are going and try to invest, what I want to concentrate on more in my work is the monetary root of the issue itself. And I think until people start to really realize that the Federal Reserve notes that they're holding in their hands aren't really even worth the paper that they're printed on, until people start to really internalize that and really understand what that means, I think it's an uphill battle to even get them to believe that everything isn't sunshine and roses and lollipops in today's economy.
What do you think is going to happen with the retirement plans, the 401ks? Where do you see these headed in the near future?
At this point, I would be truly astounded if people of my own age, myself being in my mid-30s, if people my age actually had a 401k to draw on by the time they reached retirement. I would be pretty astounded at this point. I think every indication is that at some point, in some way, the governments are going to move to nationalize pensions and retirement savings. And this is, I mean, for a whole host of reasons, not only because the piper is going to be paid in this debt-based funny money system that we're living through, but also the demographic problems that are coming up. And again, Japan is on the front lines of that tidal wave that's going to be sweeping across the developed world, but is going to hit home first here in Japan, where people are now, I think the replacement rate of children born to parents is now something like 1.2, which is well below the replacement rate of 2.0 per couple. So what we're seeing is a graying society, an aging society, and especially here in Japan, where the Japanese government debt has been supported by people paying into basically buying Japanese government bonds, so that the Japanese people are the largest holder of Japanese government debt. That's going to become insupportable, and so now we're already seeing, for example, the Japanese government is going to raise the national sales tax to try to meet the shortfall. But that's only going to feed into a system where people are going to spend less anyway. So it's a self-defeating system, and I think this is what we're going to see playing out across the developed world. It's going to hit home in America at some point. It's going to hit Europe and the exact same types of problems are going to happen. You're going to have more and more retirees, fewer and fewer people paying into the system, and it's going to be completely insupportable.
We're going to come back after this 3-minute break with James Corbett, CorbettReport.com, the International Forecaster.com. We'll be back. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. We've got lots more questions. We'll even take some of your questions a little bit later if you want to give us a call at 855-995-6923. Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It is 33 minutes after the hour. James Corbett is our guest today, CorbettReport.com, and he does a huge, wonderful job for the International Forecaster, and we just honor Bob Chapman and miss him so very much, but boy, I got to tell you, James does an amazing job, and you can find out about theinternationalforecaster.com. It'll be in the email blast, and also CorbettReport.com. James, I know that you're in Japan. You know what's going on over there. You see it. We've got a front seat to what's happening in the Japanese economy with you today. And we're going to get to Fukushima also, because I want to get your feelings on that. That's a huge issue that has been dropped, sort of like Benghazi. I mean, you know, we drop all these issues that we just don't want to talk about. And I want to get to gold and silver and your thoughts on that too. But the Japanese economy, the Nikkei, has grown. It is so inflated. It is so huge. And it's dropped 15% in the last 2 days. I mean, it was nothing to see that the Nikkei had dropped over 700 points today. And that, well, is this shades of things in the future? Is this what's going to happen in the United States?
I think eventually this is exactly what we can expect, and I say that absolutely with all due diligence into this matter, because what we're seeing really playing out in the Japanese stock market right now is a cool off in the incredible bubble that we've been seeing blown up in the Nikkei over the last several months. As I say, I mean, just incredible inflation in that index. In the exact same manner, we're seeing an incredible inflation in the S&P 500. And we see S&P futures, for example, just skyrocketing right now. Even on economic data that shows a deteriorating economy, we see deteriorating consumer demand, we see retailers having growing problems. We see all of this bad economic data that somehow transmogrifies into this ballooning S&P, which is just another sign that, again, this is central bank fueled hysteria that's going on right now. So I think that the 15% decline that we saw in the Nikkei recently is something of a realization of the Japanese populace generally and the investors that no matter if Abenomics does live up to what people are expecting of it, it still won't be enough to justify the types of run-ups we've seen in the markets recently. So I think people are starting to take some of their winnings and leave the table before the real collapse starts happening. And I really do think that it is just a matter of time. I don't think that they can continue inflating this bubble forever. And it's a question of what will set off the particular event that will lead to the toppling of the dominoes.
Well, we're looking at an unsure future, to say the least. I mean, it's very critical that people be prepared. Are people in Japan getting prepared? Do they know what's about to happen? Or do they know that there is the kind of challenge to the economy that the United States is starting to understand? A lot of the people here, are they preparing and are they getting resources available so that they can sustain whatever takes place?
I would say that the Japanese populace, very much like the American populace, is largely in the thrall of the media and basically what they hear the talking heads on the TV saying. So that there's a large section of the population that doesn't really understand the deeper economics of what's going on right now and just sees the inflating stock market and thinks that might be a way to invest. But there's a certain conservatism in the Japanese mindset that basically people do what they've always done, and what they've always done is invest in Japanese government bonds. So even with the ballooning stock market in recent months, it still will take, I think, a longer period of time to really fundamentally shift that mindset of people taking their money out of bonds and putting it into the stock market. So I think there's that sort of hurdle to overcome, but it is being overcome little by little, and people are starting to get on board with this type of Abenomics hysteria that's going on. But some of the aspects of the Japanese population, I think, serve them well in the face of a collapse. For example, basically every family here has a family rice paddy or where they grow their own food, and people are still to a certain extent rooted in the land like that. But of course, this is a country that relies heavily on imports. So in the face of some sort of worldwide collapse, it's going to be a nightmarish situation for this country. And again, I see this being reflected in what's happening in America, in Europe, and unfortunately, the types of rioting and just horrific scenes that we've been seeing coming out of Europe for the last few years is likely to start sweeping across other parts of the globe when this really starts hitting home as well. So I really do see this as the bubble inflation time, and I think that people who are looking for ways to invest in the markets as they are now are basically just shuffling deck chairs on a Titanic. I think the only safe route to go is to start building around and outside of this system, because I don't think that little structural changes within the system itself is really going to save people when the collapse really starts to take place in earnest.
Are they prepping? Are they getting ready by getting 6 months worth of food stored up, doing things like that?
I don't know anyone who's, I don't personally know anyone who's really doing that. I don't think that's part of the mindset here, and I don't think people are quite prepared for that level of collapse at this point. And again, I would say that even with a sort of self-sufficiency mindset here in Japan to a large extent, and people are generally prepared for emergencies and things like that, but I just don't think that the average person understands just how serious a thoroughgoing economic collapse can be, and I don't think that the Japanese people will be any more prepared than the average American or Canadian or European would be for this type of cataclysmic event that could happen.
What about gold and silver? Are they looking at gold and silver the same way that we are in this country?
Well, that's interesting. Gold is doing well in Japan as the yen starts to inflate away to nothing, but not as well as one would expect. In fact, the real demand for physical gold right now is taking place in Shanghai and in India, where just demand is absolutely off the charts, and people are trying to buy up all the physical gold they can. And this is interesting because what we saw last month, we saw that ridiculous, incredible two-day drop in the price of gold, just dipping something on the order of $200 basically overnight. And and once we sorted through what happened there, as near as anyone can tell, it sources back to some future contracts that were dumped on the markets, some naked shorts that were dumped on the markets on Friday, April 12th, 500 tons of naked shorts that were just dumped in increments throughout the morning, which drove the price of gold down through its technical support levels, and then started basically the fail-safes kicking in as everyone started selling off their gold positions, and that drove the price of gold down just to a ridiculous level. And so, of course, the next day, all of the papers, all of the talking heads were talking about, oh, gold is in a bear market right now. Everyone should get out of gold. The gold bubble has popped, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that popped is the paper gold that gets traded around and thrown around. And as people have shown, there's about 100 pieces of paper gold for every actual physical gold coin that there is in circulation around there. It's about 100 to 1. So people are getting out of the gold markets, the ETFs, and all of that. But the physical gold, the demand is still there. And the best place to look for that is in the central banks themselves, because during that period when the price of gold was falling is exactly when the central banks were kicking up their purchases of physical gold. So that in the first quarter of the year, they purchased 109 tons of gold between the central banks collectively, and with a lot of that being bought in Russia and South Korea. So there is a growing realization that the price of gold in US dollars, as it's being denominated, isn't really the value of physical gold. That physical gold in your hand is obviously going to retain its value after whatever type of collapse happens in the US dollar, which is why I myself invest in physical gold and why I think it is a safe store of value for the long term. It's held its value for thousands of years and is not likely to collapse anytime soon.
And I know Bob continuously tried to tell people, don't worry about when it goes down. Don't worry about it when it goes down. It doesn't mean anything. And I think that's what we're seeing now also, is that people need to stay as strong as they can and to hold on to their commodities as long as they can, because, you know, I mean, a lot of people do have to sell off, and that's understandable. But gold is up $22.40 today as it stands. And so we're looking at maybe a rise in the price of gold. We're over $1,400 right now. I don't know. But was it at all surprising to you when Goldman Sachs, and I do apologize to the callers, I know we got a lot of people that want to talk to you. Was it surprise to you, James, when Goldman Sachs about three months ago said, gold can go down to $1,200 an ounce? I mean, are they psychic or what?
Well, yes, I think that they might have an inside track on a thing or two. And that, in fact, relates back to the naked shorts that were dumped on the markets that brought the price tumbling down. That sourced back to a floor team of Merrill Lynch that sourced back to a single entity that was placing those shorts. And according to Andrew McGuire, who was the whistleblower back in 2010, who successfully predicted a J.P. Morgan-led raid on the silver market, that actually sourced back to agents of the Federal Reserve itself. And obviously, it's in the Federal Reserve's interest to try to keep the gold price down, because if the gold price is surging, then it lets the markets know that the U.S. dollar is dying. And they want to prop up the phony value of their Federal Reserve notes for a little while longer, at any rate, as the currency wars continue apace between nations, and they're not quite ready to bring in their new international currency quite yet, I think. So they want to prop up the system and keep the bubble going for another few years, but there will be a collapse coming, and they are preparing for it, but they obviously want to situate it so that they have the solution ready-made and up their sleeve to roll out at the right time.
That is the best answer I have heard from anyone. If they keep gold down, it makes the dollar look stronger. But if the gold price was to go sky high where it should be, then that would make the dollar look weak, and we would be weak in front of, oh my goodness, that is so good. I'm so glad you said that. Let me go to Dave in New York. We'll get to Fukushima in just a second. Let's go to Dave in New York. Dave, you're on the air with James Corbett. Go ahead, please.
Morning.
Morning.
I heard Catherine Hughes, or Catherine Huge was her name. She was a World Bank whistleblower. Have you heard her name, James?
Hudes, I believe, H-U-D-E-S. I've heard the name. I've been sent the link. I haven't had a chance to follow the story yet, so I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it's either K-A Hudes, or Hudes, whatever you said, .net, or K-A. I think it's K-A Hughes.net. It's out of, you know, it's her basic line. But anyway, she said she felt quite confident that, you know, these people were going to be exposed, that there were a number of whistleblowers. I guess Eric Holder has her trying to get her arrested for trespassing or something. She thought was rather silly. But I think, you know, with somebody with your, you know, power or information that, yeah, if you could get a hold of her and touch base, that'd really, you know, because that's the whole thing. We have to get everybody to be aware of you know, what's going on. She said, like, 125 corporations own, I don't know, 40% of the world's stock, but 60% of the profits. I'm not sure how that worked out, but anyway, I'll let you go.
Well, thank you for that. Absolutely. I agree that we should be looking into the whistleblower stories. I think whistleblowers are so important to finding out what's really going on, and we can look at some of the World Bank whistleblowers that came out in the past talking about releasing some of the documents about the IMF riots and things like that, where it's a coordinated plan to crash the economies of third world nations and basically put them into debt slavery to the IMF. And that's exactly what's now happening in the developed world, even in Europe, which was once considered unthinkable. So we have to listen to the whistleblowers when they come out. Unfortunately, I haven't been following the Karen Hughes story yet, but I will be on that, and I'll have more information on my website when I look into it.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dave in New York. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to John in Missouri. John, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with James Corbett.
Good morning. It's very good this morning. Now, I was just reading where, at the rate they're going, they might sell 4 million Eagles this month, setting a new record. I mean, nobody's really talking about how much is being sold, and then the purchase of physical silver in this country as we're watching them read the paper contract, excuse me. So, but I find it interesting. You were talking about, you said, we'll probably see, they're probably going to go to the different currency, try that in a couple of years. It just looks like they want to do it sooner than later. I don't know.
I don't have a crystal ball on it, so of course I have no idea when that's coming, but I think it's obvious that that's the trend that they're trying to move the world into. I think that there is still several years left of the currency wars to play out, and I think they could drag it on for a lot longer than people might expect, but it could be even sooner than that. I really have no way of knowing, but I think we have to understand that that's where they're heading, and we have to do our best to try to spread the awareness of that before it gets there. But you're exactly right. The physical gold market is exploding, and the talking heads will never talk about that because they want you to focus on the paper markets that are so easily manipulated, because that's where they can manipulate the price. And of course, again, the price is just the US dollar notional value of what gold is worth, but that's a meaningless concept when the US dollar itself is just such a manipulable idea of wealth.
Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah. quickly.
Okay. Physical supply, or the supply for physical silver for people to purchase, as if Joyce wanted to go buy some, can you maybe cover that supply that's in the market? So, thank you, sir.
Yeah, what is the physical supply of gold and silver like? Do you have any idea, James?
I have no idea what it's like. I know that, as the caller was saying, that we're seeing levels of sales that are just absolutely through the roof, and we're heading towards record territory. As to how much is actually out there left to purchase, I really have no idea about that. And I think that's part of the game that's played. Until there's actual shortages, until people are basically being turned away, which we've also had indications of recently, and we've had other things like in the New York gold markets, we've had tungsten-filled gold bars, etc., and people trying to pass that off as real gold. So we have had those types of problems, but until that becomes more widespread, I don't think people will really realize just how in short supply gold really is. And again, look at what the central banks are doing, not what they're saying, and the fact that they're buying 100 tons of gold per quarter has got to tell you something about what real value.
Yes. Let's go to John in Ohio. John in Ohio, you're on the air with James Corbett. Go ahead, please.
Before I get to my comment, is this the same Corbett report that deals with geopolitics and the U.S. Wars against countries around the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, well, to me, this is crucial because it seems to me that the incredible move towards the United States becoming the new Mein Kampf project for New American Century drive for world domination and the flashpoint in Syria right now and the utter upside-down propaganda we're hearing through the news, these cutthroats, these terrorists, these beheaders, terrorists and cutthroats who are slaughtering minorities, threatening to genocide all the minorities in Syria. And we have the Anderson Coopers and the CIA media calling these thugs and murderers freedom fighters. And now we're at the situation where finally Russia has realized that their security runs through these cities because ultimately the PNAC is targeting Russia and China. Do you think that there has to be a massive educational program right now to reverse this incredible program of Israel to attack these countries? And then when Russia sends some purely defensive missiles that cannot attack anybody, but to defend this country from these horrors that the United States and about a dozen other countries are sending in these terrorists from the outside.
Okay, stay right there. We'll be right back. Stay right there, John in Ohio and James Corbett. And we still want to find out about Fukushima. We'll be back after this final 3-minute report with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Power Hour, 54 minutes after the hour. James Corbett is our guest, The Corbett Report, which is CorbettReport.com. Go to the email blast. You'll also learn how to sign up for the International Forecaster newsletter. He has a subscription for a newsletter, also financial newsletter, The Corbett Report subscriber. You can also sign up for his email notices, too. So go to CorbettReport.com. Real quickly, before I don't do this, because I promised everybody, Fukushima, before we get back to John in Ohio, Fukushima, what is the status? We're not hearing anything any longer.
Absolutely not. Basically, the status is that things are not necessarily any better than they were a couple of years ago, and unfortunately, we're not hearing anything about it. But the latest estimates, 93 billion becquerels of radioactive cesium has leaked directly into the ocean each day for the past couple of years. We're now at the point where more cesium and iodine have leaked out than in the entire Chernobyl disaster. You have iodine-129, which has a half-life of 15.7 million years, strontium-90, all of this directly flowing into the ocean. You also have the problem of reactor 4, which has a containment building that contains over 1,500 spent fuel rods, which is teetering and on the verge of collapse. And they are going to start removing the spent fuel rods in December. So there's still a lot going on at the plant, but we're not hearing about it anymore because it's no longer part of the agenda to report on it. And they said that it achieved cold shutdown in December of 2011. And basically we saw the world media just turn its attention after that. But I do have a website, FukushimaUpdate.com, where I'm keeping track of what's going on there so people can go there.
Oh, good. FukushimaUpdate.com. Well, in this country, we have Jody Arias to be concerned about, the latest murder of a boyfriend. So that's taken up all CNN headline news this time.
No, I thought Amanda Bynes was the big news these days. Celebrity going
she's
crazy.
Yeah. She's after that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've got, we fit them in periodically. And yeah, Amanda Bynes is the next one. Boy, you're on top of the news is all I can say. We're going to get back to, I'm going to have you back on to do a whole program on Fukushima because I think we need to spend more time on it. But let me go back to John in Ohio so I don't slide him. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I think the global Ponzi scheme collapse at these vulture bankers have imposed on us are driving them towards this kind of Hitlerian drive for world domination by war. And I think we have to reverse the propaganda at its flashpoint on Syria right now because the yes. United States is sending in terrorists, cutthroats, cannibals, actually, and beheaders that they call freedom fighters from a dozen countries.
Yeah, we all know that. We all know that. And now, we've talked about that a lot on the program. But do you have a question for our guest? Because I need to move the next caller.
Yes. Do you think that this can be reversed, that Russia is finally going to counter this with these S-300 missiles?
Okay. All right, let's see.
Ultimately, I don't think that the solution is going to come from military counterbalances by Russia. I think the real solution starts at the public awakening, which is happening right now through the alternative media. I think people should stop believing that someday CNN or the New York Times is suddenly going to start reporting on this truthfully. They're never going to do that. But we are winning the information war in the alternative media sphere, and that's been reflected so brilliantly in the coverage of the Boston bombing, where we saw for the idea of false flag terrorism suddenly became something that people were talking about in the mainstream culture, and they just can't suppress that anymore. So I think that's the real hope of where we are right now, and we are making a difference, and we need to keep pressing this information.
Absolutely.
On the individual level.
And you will help us do that from Japan's perspective, and from Japan. Thank you very much, James Corbett, for joining us today. CorbettReport.com. I cannot promote that enough. The website is amazing. Thank you, James, and happy parenting to you out there in Japan.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to next week.
You have a blessed day. You have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you tomorrow. It's Feel Good Friday on the Power Hour, and then I'm going to be leaving for the Sheriff's Convention. And thank you all for joining us. Have a blessed day. We love you at the Power Hour. Thanks especially to James Ram, who is here, and also to Jim Ram and James Corbett. Thank you all. Have a blessed day. We love you all. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow at the Power Hour.